Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and welcome to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you. Welcome back to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. My name is Michael. It's May the 5th, 2012, and you just heard a new edition by Beck, one of the favorite artists here in the Good E-Reader Studios. Lots of news has happened over the course of the last few days. A number of e-readers have received firmware updates. We're going to talk to you all about that. We wrote a big article today about the state of e-book publishing, e-readers, and a lot of the companies doing battle for your consumer dollars, as well as we'll answer some emails and get into all of the news from the last few days. The Amazon Kindle Fire has received a firmware update. This is, I believe, version 6.31, and it basically adds some new parental controls for your device. The Kindle Fire is mainly used not by one person, but if you have kids, they're always mucking around on it. It gives you some new parental controls so you can lock out the web browser, lock out purchases, lock the device, lock internet access, and so on. Although, we have heard some parents report to us in emails that a lot of kids are bypassing the new parental controls by defaulting the device. So doing a factory default, and when it boots up, there's no permission. So some people are bypassing it like that. The JetBook Color has also received a new firmware update, and we'll be filming a video tutorial on the new update, giving you a sense on what it's all about, probably in the next few days. So what this has really done is enhanced page turn speed. And this is one of the factors that really prevented us from recommending the Itako JetBook Color as a really viable 9.7-inch e-ink color display. It's the technology is really sound. The hardware, not so good, but with firmware updates, it's quickly becoming a little bit more relevant, in my humble opinion. You can set the refresh rate now on the JetBook Color from every page to every third page and to every fifth page. So that will prevent a lot of the flickering that you would have seen in the past when you change pages in ebooks. By default, a lot of e-readers will give you a full page refresh every page that you turn. And if you have some lower end e-readers, or even if you have Kindles and Nooks and things like that, or Kobos, when you turn a page, often you'll see a full screen refresh. So if you're turning pages fairly quickly, you see a lot of flickering. With empowering yourself with a little bit more control over where you see that refresh, it should be pretty good for the JetBook Color. There's also some new features found in this. You can use text-to-speech to get the desired book to be read aloud properly. And it will actually, if you write a document, you can actually have it read it back to you. So the speech recognition engine has also received quite the big update. In Harry Potter news, there's no surprises that with Pottermore and the success of the Harry Potter ebooks that came out roughly about a month ago, it's at the top of Overdrive's most downloaded list. So if your library uses Overdrive to facilitate the lending of digital books, you may have a hard time finding any of the Harry Potter books. Most of them have holds between 30 and 50 people. In some cases, especially with smaller libraries, you might get lucky, but in most bigger cities, like in Vancouver, BC, where I live, it's about 68 people are ahead of me just for the first book alone. If you have had some experience with Dolby Surround Sound really used to be the cutting edge of digital home audio and digital home entertainment. It's sort of gone a little bit under the radar. You hear a lot about THX now, and Dolby is trying to be a little bit more relevant by partnering with Microsoft. And so you'll see a little bit better speaker quality and sound quality coming out with some tablets that use the Windows 8 operating system. This will obviously give you a little bit better, you know, audio quality. It'll come out with Windows 8, Windows 8 Pro, Windows RT editions, and it'll apply both to the x86 and ARM-based platforms. So whatever hardware is going to be used, you will be able to get a little bit higher quality. Speaking of tablets, the Kyobo Miracell e-reader is finally available in Canada and the United States. It's done through shopereaders.com. It's $399.99, which is fairly good considering that in South Korea where it's sold for roughly about $350 with all the import rates. It's a fairly good price. A lot of people decide to jump into tablets to read their books, magazines, newspapers, to play games also, watch movies, and so on. A tablet provides a little bit more flexibility that a dedicated e-reader does not. the Kyobo uses the Miracell display technology, which is very efficient in terms of battery life, but it also gives you a little bit more, a better experience when you read books. And that's the one thing I really liked about the Kyobo, where unlike a lot of other LCD and LED type tablets, it really gives you the closest tablet experience to reading e-paper. So you can check that out, www.shopureaders.com, and you can check it out. Now, let's talk a little bit about the publishing and e-reader industry. Lots of news has come out in the last few days, giving a sense of how the market stands. A lot of first quarter results were issued for the first 3 or 4 months of the year. So we do have some new information to go on. It looks like, looking at the UK first, that ebook sales are up 366%. And this is in 2011. And ebooks now account for 6% of the entire ebook industry, which has garnered roughly about £92 million. This is pretty rapid growth, because it's basically an increase of 318% from 2009 and increased from 4 million to 16 million. So it's gone from 4 to 16, now to £92 million, which is quite large, if I don't say so myself. What this really does is this shows you how fast the digital publishing industry has grown. Ebooks are heads over tails making way more money now more than ever, and a lot of companies have vested interests in preserving the status quo and in being a pivotal part in sort of the accelerated growth that the ebook market has. And one of the ways that this is affecting is between the big companies like Google, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and Apple. What we have now is a lot of companies vying for control for your consumer dollars. You have things like Target that's been dealing with Amazon since about 2010. Just say we're not going to carry any type of Kindle tablets or Kindle e-readers until May 13th. So you have until May 13th in order to actually buy an Amazon product through Target. And what this is really doing is this is creating a little bit of a battle between companies. The main reason why Target is saying, okay, we don't want Kindle e-readers anymore, is because of mainly Apple, but mainly because of Amazon's clout in a digital sphere, as well as being an online shopping destination. Best Buy has publicly admitted that Amazon is hurting their bottom line. And if these companies are selling Amazon products, it's almost like you're digging your own grave. Amazon first released their Kindle e-reader in 2007, Sony in 2006. Both devices at the time were mainly purchased by early adopters. People that, would download PDFs from the internet and say, hey, I can read PDFs while on the go. Technology matured over the next few years, and the e-readers themselves became a little bit more refined. You had readers for the first time that had wireless capabilities that allowed you to purchase books directly on a device. When they first came out, there was really no way that you could actually purchase books directly on a device. You had to jump through a lot of hoops on the computer in order to buy books and then copy them manually to your device. And they've matured as people started to purchase more of them. And so you notice that a lot of ecosystems started to grow with it. And most notably, Amazon started really getting into the ebook realm. They would purchase digital books from companies at wholesale prices and then basically undercut their competition by being able to buy books cheaper, but actually sell books very, very cheaply, because they knew that the more books at better prices that they offered, the more that they would peddle their Kindle e-readers. So the battle for your dollars are basically in full swing right now. The U.S. Justice Department and major publishers are fighting it out in court. You have Apple, Penguin, and Macmillan that are continuing to fight. And you have other publishers like HarperCollins that decide to settle out of court. They're fighting basically because of trying to preserve a competitive landscape. We've covered this in details, but you know, long story short, when Apple was launching iBooks, it basically got the big six publishers together and said, look, Amazon controls a huge portion of the market. We want to get into eBooks, but we can't get into it in the current pricing model. So instead of letting bookstores establish a pricing model for digital books, we're going to create a unilateral pricing scheme. This way, indie booksellers, as well as Apple, can actually get into the ebook market and offer books for the same price as most of their competition. Price fixing in the digital realm like this is not technically illegal, but it is highly unethical. So it's we kind of are entering a realm of uncertainty right now where no one really knows what the future of ebook pricing will be. Now that sort of the agency model is not officially dead, but it looks like it's on its way out, we're going to get back into the Wild West where companies are going to be able to charge what they want, and hopefully the market themselves will be able to determine what books are sold for rather than publishers dictating what they're sold for in a digital realm. During the last few weeks, because of this court case, there's been a lot of interesting blog articles about how pricing will affect and what is the actual cost of making an ebook. And the cost of making an ebook is pretty unknown. It's certainly cheaper than making a tangible book, and that's why on average the digital book is fairly inexpensive when you look at the actual printed edition. Sure, you look at having to do cover art and to format it correctly and distribute it, and everybody's different, you know, hands in the pie basically. But for self-published people, there's a lot of free tools out there. I know BookTango offers a do-it-yourself cover art, and we've written about it in the last few days. Basically, it's a total wizard where they give you thousands of free images that you could use. You can do text, you can do formatting, tons of different font options. So a lot of people can do this themselves now, which is the main thing. So Apple and Amazon have been actually fighting for a number of years. It's not the ebook price fixing, which is the only factor playing into this, but those two companies themselves have been doing battle. One of the main elements to this is when Apple instituted a policy where all in-app purchases have to be done through the App Store or iTunes, this affected ebook companies. So at one time, if you had the Amazon app on your iPad or iPhone, you could actually buy books from Amazon and Apple wouldn't get anything from it. So when Apple implemented this policy, it prevented everybody from selling ebooks from within their app. The Sony app was just straight denied access to the Apple iPad and iOS devices, and then Kobo, Barnes & Noble, Amazon all prevented and edited their app, so you couldn't actually buy a book through their app. You instead had to use your web browser or purchase books on your PC, and then the next time you used your iDevice, the book would automatically be synced. So again, we're kind of going back to almost 2007, 2008, when you couldn't actually buy a book right on a device, but you have to jump through a lot of hoops. It's just a good thing now that with the internet and with everybody having a computer or tablet these days, that jumping through a little bit of hoops does not necessitate a lot of technological know-how. You might have heard that Barnes & Noble recently got a $300 million investment from Microsoft, and this is to bundle the Nook Store into Windows 8 operating system. So this will apply to tablets, obviously, to PCs. And this gives Barnes & Noble the international distribution that it didn't have in the past. One of the things about Barnes & Noble is their tablets and e-readers are only sold in the U.S., and mainly you can only buy books in the U.S. You could obviously, you know, buy it through secondhand sites or on eBay and things like that, but Barnes & Noble officially has never adopted an international approach, which is limiting their growth. Where you look at companies like Kobo and Amazon, they've basically been focusing exclusively on international expansion. Both companies have moved into the UK, into Spain, France, Germany, offering localized bookstores where you can actually purchase books in the languages and make deals with local publishing companies, foster homegrown authors, and both companies around the summertime will be actually moving into South America. Barnes & Noble has been making inroads to do stuff in the UK. They've run app development seminars with a lot of UK Android developers to get them making customized apps for a UK-only app store. And Barnes & Noble has been approaching publishers to be able to open up an actual e-book store in the UK. They've been really tight-lipped about it. Barnes & Noble really doesn't do a lot of things behind the scenes that actually gets leaked out. So we only kind of know about the things that have actually been going on, but all signs are pointing to Barnes & Noble expanding to the UK. And with the agreement with Microsoft, they finally get that international distribution because Microsoft obviously has their hands in almost every major country, and being embedded into Windows really gives Barnes & Noble a bit of a competitive advantage over their competition. So basically, you have e-readers, tablets, and digital books enjoying unparalleled success. We mentioned about the UK market seeing 366% growth in 2011, and in the US, the Association of American Publishers recently said that 31% of all adult trade sales in February are up from 27% a year ago, and you have children's ebooks jumping up. You have the current US market is estimated to do about $2.5 billion in sales by 2012. The Yankee Group, which is another think tank company, said they'll basically be $8.2 billion worth of tablets and e-readers sold by 2014. So there's a lot of money to be had, and that's why Apple, Google, and Amazon are doing battle with each other in the retail sphere, in the court system, and everybody just wants a piece of this pie. The numbers really speak for themselves, where it's growing like crazy. And so everybody from the hardware makers that make the e-readers and tablets to the publishers that make the digital books to the bookstores themselves, it's almost synonymous now. Kobo sells the hardware, they sell books. Barnes & Noble, same thing. Amazon, same thing. Apple and Google basically just have platforms. Apple sells the iPad, and they also have iBooks, but they don't, you know, it's the iBooks ecosystem is pretty weak, if I don't say so myself. So that's basically it, guys. It's a crash course in the state of e-readers and digital publishing, and how it basically all these companies just really want your money, and they're doing everything that they can to actually make it happen. If you subscribe to the Financial Times, I recently did an interview about this very same subject matter with a local author there. So we have a post on our front page about this all. You can check out the Financial Times link and check out some of the quotes that I made contributing to the article. Book Expo America is coming up in early June, and I believe Mercy Pilkington, Peter, and myself will all be in attendance, so you're going to get probably the most in-depth coverage of Book Expo America at goodyreader.com than you'll find anywhere else on the internet. Maybe Publishers Weekly might do a bit better job. The one advantage we have is we do a lot of video interviews, and that's something that they don't do. They just write a lot of very short blog posts on things that happen there, where we really take the time to actually speak with these people on camera and be able to ask them your questions as well as get the scoops on what these companies are doing. So we have interviews lined up with Macmillan, Penguin, and a lot of other, you know, prominent companies such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you are attending the event and you're in the digital publishing or e-reader arena, you can send us an email at michael@goodyreader.com and we can arrange a time and place where we can rap about the industry and you know, tell us about your products and such. So we're going to be there for about 6 days. We'll be attending various companion events such as the digital book. I don't know. They have some sort of digital book thing there where it's all about digital. And they also have like a lot of blogging events and speakers and such. We'll be attending it all in New York City. So the first week of June, you definitely want to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/goodereader and our blog at goodereader.com/blog. The Nook Simple Touch with Glow Light is on our radar. We're going to be filming videos on it coming on Monday. And you can expect a full written review as well as a video review and a lot of video comparisons. We'll be comparing nighttime reading on the Kindle Fire versus the Nook Simple Touch, the iPad versus the Nook Simple Touch, and a ton of other daytime reading tests. And this is mainly used because Barnes & Noble is actively marketing this device as being a bit in-bed type of reader. Traditional e-ink, because it doesn't have any type of backlit or side-lit technology for the most part, you need a lot of ambient light to read. And people are saying, you know, look, you know, I have to have my lamp on and my wife's, you know, tossing and turning. She's not giving me the goodies and something has to change. So Barnes & Noble has listened to men and women everywhere, denying their significant other certain things because they are reading in bed at night with a lot of light. So the Barnes & Noble Simple Touch basically has a lot of light settings, so you could actually have a little bit control over the luminosity, and that's something that a lot of tablets don't have. They have automatic dimming, but it's kind of annoying to have to manually do things, you know, deep in the settings menu with like Android tablets, and you know, even if tablets have brightness settings at all that are easily attainable. So I'm pretty happy that Barnes & Noble was the first company to add actual side lighting, much like an infrared display works, on an e-ink e-reader. And I think that this is game-changing. I know a lot of companies are in the midst of developing similar technologies. Amazon actually bought a company in 2011 that specializes in side lighting, and so we might see something by them. I really think that Barnes & Noble knew Amazon was developing competing technology and decided to rush to the market a product first using an established template, which is the Nook Simple Touch, and the glow feature is just an extra feature that's mainly the only new feature on their e-reader. We've heard murmurings that Kobo actually was developing similar technology. One of the kind of cool things, sort of, that's on the cusp, since we're talking about new technology and e-readers, is the new LG flexible light technology. I'm super excited about this. There's a few e-readers coming out. One is done by Books. If you've ever had the Onyx e-reader before, Onyx is going to be coming out with one. There's a number of companies actually in Russia that are developing them as well. I think one is called maybe the Wise Reader, if I remember my reading a single blog post in Russian about 4 days ago. And I don't really read Russian, but Google Translate to the rescue, y'all. So LG flexible technology is basically like the equivalent of a Gorilla Glass for e-ink. I've seen some tests where like people are hitting them with like urethane hammers and dropping them from like 5 feet in air, and the screen is not cracking. So with kind of this cool new technology, it always like, it never really comes to North America first. It's always like these obscure little companies that no one really knows about because they have no advertising budget to like make people aware that they exist. So, you know, I really doubt a lot of listeners have even heard of Onyx before, but apparently Onyx's North American distribution center has no idea about this LG new technology that their, you know, Asian counterparts are you know, should be coming out with something about late May or so. So we're totally trying to get our hands on it. It's just that there's a single Russian phone number and nobody I know speaks Russian, so it's kind of hard to get it, as well as Onyx is basically our only hope. So hopefully we'll have a cool new e-reader using totally new technology to show you guys, you know, as soon as we can. We're hoping for about the end of May to be able to show something to you, and that's hopefully before Book Expo actually occurs. The final thing that I want to mention before I go is tablets. There is a lot of tablets going on and tablet news coming out. It's almost like every day that there's a new announcement coming out for the new latest and greatest things. It's really too hard to get into, but I'll sum up some of the latest news that's coming out. Samsung's rumored to work on a dual-screen tablet similar to the Sony Tablet P that they're working on. Research in Motion is talking about a 3G/4G/LTE model of the Playbook coming out during the next few months. There is a lot of Indian tablets that are going to be coming out soon. You have the Aktesh, the number 2, which is fairly popular, you know, in India and companies like that. It's also known as the Ubi Slate 2, which you may have heard of it. There is Corban is releasing the Smart Tab 1, and they're doing this in India in roughly a few days. You might have heard news about the new Samsung Galaxy S3, which looks like to be the ultimate phone, although it looks like it was designed by lawyers. We read an interesting post on Android Police about it. So if you want to know all about the Galaxy S3 and find out how it was designed by lawyers, you can check out Android Police. They wrote a wicked article on it at goodyreader.com. We don't really cover phones at all. Occasionally we'll do some reviews on the best e-reading apps, you know, for Android, the best comic book apps for Android. But a lot of these apps, there really isn't a lot out there, and we've pretty well covered them in extensive detail. So that's about it. This is pretty well, you're now up to date on the last few days of e-reader news and digital publishing news. Again, you can check out all the latest news on goodyreader.com. We publish roughly about 7 to 10 articles per day. All of our services are free. Our GoodyReader app store is doing phenomenal. We have roughly about 1,500 apps right now for both Android and a Playbook, as well as our own news apps and our client apps. So if you have a Playbook, you want to install some apps, you can visit goodyreader.com/apps. And for Android, you can also check out that store. We have games, social media apps, business and productivity, and a ton more. So basically all the major apps, from Google Currents to the entire Google ecosystem, and with an emphasis, of course, on like reading and things like that. So every major e-reader app in existence we have, but most importantly, we keep it all up to date. One of the things that you may notice, if you have a device that can access the Google Play Store, which is the renamed Google Android Market, that new apps are updated, all new apps are coming out all the time, and old apps are constantly being updated. So we really make it a point to have basically our editor's choice of the best apps out there, but we also take requests. So if we have an app that you want that we don't have, simply let us know. The only requirements is that it's being a free app. If you've paid for an app, don't ask us to post it. If it's a pirate app, don't ask us to post it. We're just basically posting free apps, and we have a lot of blessings from the people that actually made the apps to actually host them. And this is especially true with the BlackBerry Playbook. So we have a contest right now for a Barnes & Noble Nook Color. If you want to win this, you can go to our blog and click on contests. All you have to do is on Twitter, use the hashtag GoodEReader and tell us why you want to win. We're going to do the contest for this is actually in a few days, so you do have a few days to enter it. We'll be doing it totally at random, and we do these contests about once every few weeks, so Again, we're pretty well, not only do we shoot a lot of videos and write a hell of a lot of content, have an e-reader store as well as a lending club at lendingebook.com. We also have contests all the time. So we are your destination. Thanks for listening. And my name is Michael, and everybody take care.